You're listening to Expand the Curve, and I'm your host, Olive Bassey. Here we discuss controversial topics within plus-size representation in all industries, along with real-life stories from everyday people. In order for change to occur, you must be the change. Let's contract the norms and expand the curve. You're listening to Expand the Curve, and I'm your host, Olive Bassey. Here we discuss controversial topics within plus-size representation in all industries, along with real-life stories from everyday people. In order for change to occur, you must be the change. Let's contract the norms and expand the curve. Welcome back to Expand the Curve. I'm your host, Olive Bassey. And of course, we have our special guest today. Her name is Kara Lee. She is a very well-diverse tattooed Instagrammer, and she is absolutely amazing. I am obsessed with her feed, you guys. She just wore this purple dress, absolutely luxurious. I'm obsessed with her. And she just radiates self-love and body positivity. So I'll just take it over to you. How are you today?
I'm doing so good. Thank you so much for having me. This is like a really big honor. I'm really excited.
Oh my God. I'm happy to have you here.
You stop it.
You are too sweet. Oh my gosh. I just want to like get to know you and just like how you became the person you are today, really. Like take us through your journey through life, your experiences, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I grew up with my mom and my sister. Primarily, it was just the two of us. My dad's a piece of shit. So I mean, just being quite frank, he was not really there, but likes to take credit where credit is not due. And I was raised by a very, very strong-willed, independent woman. And that has kind of carried me through where I'm at in my journey today and like how I really think and feel. Growing up, I'll be 100% honest, I didn't have the growing up experience of like being the chubby kid. I was the skinny kid. Okay. So I had ADHD, still have. And throughout my childhood and adolescence, I was on Adderall and it was very like time suppressant. And I didn't ever eat around people. And I was a size 00.
Oh, wow.
So I was on the spectrum of getting called anorexic. Getting called like I had like something wrong with me. So like my body image has kind of like always been there in the back of my mind of like, I don't fit in, not necessarily being plus size, but it started out for me being too skinny, not being what people thought was normal. That kind of went throughout high school. High school, I filled out a little bit. Then I filled out into high school and people were like, oh, well now you're chubby. And I'm like, okay. I guess you can't just like win here.
Yeah.
But it wasn't really, and I don't know if this is what you're like wanting to know, but like it wasn't until like my 20s that I kind of realized, fuck what everybody thinks. Like, why am I wasting so much precious time not experiencing the things that I should be experiencing because of what I look like, because I care too much of what everybody thinks of me, you know?
Yeah.
And from there, it really kind of had this turn point last year on my 28th birthday. I had my photos taken and I grew up being a selfie queen. I love taking pictures of myself. I have no problem admitting that.
Yeah.
Like I've always loved being in front of the camera,
yeah.
But I never liked taking pictures of my body anymore because I cared way too much of what everyone thought. I cared too much of what I thought. So last year I got my photos done for my 28th birthday and I just told myself, I promised myself that I was just going to start being kinder to me. No matter what anybody said,
yeah.
That there was no reason for me to be so hateful to my body and myself.
Yeah.
And from there, it just kind of spiraled into now. I just think I'm the baddest bitch in the planet.
Let's go. I love that.
On the planet.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, most of like where this comes from is my mother and her telling me to not give a flying shit what anyone thinks of you and to just be who you are authentically. And that's what's going to carry you through life. And I think a lot of that, and I had a very raw conversation with my sister not that long ago. She's 6 years older than me. And so she's even gotten to have the conversation of watching me transform as a person of she told me, she's like, I felt like growing up, you cared way too much of what people thought and never got to truly be who you were. And one of the sayings that I always grew up hearing from both of them was, the people who love you are going to love you. The people who aren't don't matter. So you should never try to be something that you're not for somebody else, because someone's going to love you exactly as you are. So that's kind of always stuck through me. Have I gotten lost with that? Yeah. Have I been to the person who was going to the gym 7 days a week, losing 80 pounds? Yeah. Did I think that I was only worthy if I was in shape and fit? Yeah. But all of that just kind of changes when you put into perspective of that doesn't matter. Nothing really matters. Not in like a depressing way.
No, I got
nothing matters.
Yeah.
But like, you know what I mean? Like, nothing really matters besides your own authenticity and being who you want to be and being who you are and surrounding yourself with the people who actually cherish that, those like parts of you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
sorry. That was a lot, but not a lot at all.
No, you're good. You're good. It's I feel the same way too. It took me like in my 20s to start realizing like, why do I give a shit about everyone else's opinion except my own? Like, it's just like, where could I have been if I started to see myself in a better headspace? It's so sad.
I think about that too.
Yeah. Like, I would have been in
so many missed opportunities.
Exactly.
And things that you didn't do, things you didn't feel like you were worthy of doing. Like, I didn't start getting tattoos on my arms until 2 years ago, or my legs, because I didn't think that I should have them because of my size. Mm. I thought like, oh, gross. My arms are chubby. My legs are chubby. Like, why would I ever get tattoos on them? So I went through like a 6-year period where I didn't get any tattoos,
really?
Which if you see me now is,
oh my God, completely different.
Very, very different. Yeah. And so when I had that kick last year of fuck it, I'm going to love me for me.
Yeah.
I ended up getting a full leg sleeve in 6 months.
Wow.
So
that's amazing. And it looks well done.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes. Shout out to Mike Bentley at Empire. Like, he's done my entire leg, and Brooke, his wife, has done my arm.
Oh,
so they're as soon as I told them that, they're like, the fuck is wrong with you? Tattoos go on everybody and everywhere.
Exactly.
So like, they were really supportive about it too. But yeah, you chip yourself of these experiences that you didn't think that you were worthy of because of how you looked or felt about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. What would you say was the moment you felt like you were left out or misrepresented because of your size?
Recently. So it was before I started more of like loving myself, but 2019, we went dress shopping for a wedding that I was in, and they said on the site, like, I asked my friend, because I'm the only plus size person in the wedding. And just to be clear, I consider plus size like not straight sizes.
Okay.
Like, if I can't go to the store and like find my size, and I typically have to buy it just online, mm-hmm. like that's what I consider like a plus size. So there was another, her sister-in-law is probably like a size 12, 14.
Okay.
Some may consider that plus size. I consider that, honestly, it's like the national average of women in the United States.
Yeah.
Like, but I specifically asked her, hey, is where we're going, are they plus size? And she was like, oh yeah, it's totally inclusive. It's totally great. We get there and I don't have a thing to try on.
No.
I was the only bridesmaid that did not get to try on any dresses because they're like, oh, we have them, but you have to order them. And I'm like, then
what was the point?
What was the point? They even tried to give me this dress and I was like, ha ha ha. Not happening. It's not going to fit.
No.
So I just felt really left out of the situation. And it was really frustrating because, like, I don't know, for me, you're only a bridesmaid so many times and I keep my circle pretty small. So it's like, I'm only a bridesmaid so many times with my friends, and to feel like I got gypped of that experience.
Yeah.
I had no say in like the dresses. Not only that, when the dresses were picked, they didn't have my size. So I had to get a completely separate dress from everyone else.
What?
But to try it, like, was almost a similar style. It was one of those fat girl dresses that's like a tube top dress, but you can wear it 13 different ways or whatever. Yeah. That's like, that's the fat girl dress is what I call it, because that's like what they stick everybody in.
Yeah.
Cause like there's, I can't wear a spaghetti strap. That's not happening. Right. Like if you have a large chest, like, so it was really frustrating. And long story short, we didn't even use that dress because we had a pandemic, the wedding date changed, colors changed, whatever. Yeah. But I even called the store back and I was like, hey, would you be interested in buying back my dress to make sure that like you guys have stuff for other women to try on, like when they come into the shop and stuff. Yeah. And I was with, oh, we're very inclusive since then. We've gotten a lot more sizes and stuff in the store since then. And I was like, oh, well, you guys weren't like that like a year and a half ago. So, and not only that, I had to get a size 30 dress. I'm not a size 30. Kudos to you if you are, it's whatever. Yeah. But I had to get a bigger size that would fit me and that I would have had to pay for it to get altered too.
Oh, because
it doesn't fit my body.
Yeah.
So it was just a really frustrating experience where like I just really felt isolated and not a part of something that was a very happy moment with all of my girlfriends. And at that point, I wasn't at the part now where I'm at where I could be like, all right, fuck this place, like whatever.
Yeah.
It was really defeating. And I remember crying on the way home.
Because now you have that memory and it's not even a happy memory tied to the actual wedding itself. Now it's just like,
no,
oh, that's so heartbreaking.
It sucked. It did. And I mean, I'm glad that we didn't even go with that dress because I mean, I hated the fat girl dress. So it was a beautiful sage green color. It's gorgeous. Yeah. But I wore that dress to my friend's wedding like 3 years prior. It was like the same type dress because again, that was the only type dress that fit me at the time. It's the only one. Yeah. So that's the biggest time here recently where I really felt left out because of being plus size.
Oh my God. I could never wear a spaghetti strap. I too have big boobs and it's just like, they don't become spaghetti strap. They become straight up just like a piece of hair.
They become indents. Yeah. It's like a yarn or like string, like going into your skin. Like I'm a 42H. That's not happening.
Right.
And I know when you saw me, why did you even send me a spaghetti strap? for an idea. Like, so it's just like, not only that, like they didn't have the dresses, but I just didn't feel like they understood my body type either. Mm,
that plays a huge factor.
Because like, I feel like it does. And I feel as a plus size woman, I know personally what works on my body.
Yeah.
If you are going to have a store where your job is to show people dresses and styles and stuff, I feel like you should be educated in every body type.
Correct.
Does that sound like silly?
No, like, absolutely not.
I would never like go to, so my sister's also plus size. I would never go to my sister and be like, here's a spaghetti strap.
Yeah.
Here you go. Like, I know that that's not going to work because she has a larger chest.
Right. Right.
Like it's just if you want to rock it and if you want to have an indent, mark in your shoulders all night, baby girl, you go right ahead.
You live your best life.
You live your best life. But for me, I'm wearing that dress for 30 minutes and I'm never wearing it again.
Yeah. Oh my God. Absolutely. I mean, I've had my experiences like that, but I've never truly been to a wedding and I've recognized the dress and everything like that. And it's just, it's so heartbreaking to see these types of dresses that are such a failure and represent, they're not even trendy too on top of that. It's just like,
no, they're so ugly.
Yeah, like it's just like, you realize I'm 20, not 40, which is, there's nothing wrong with someone who wears that, who's 40.
No.
That's great. But you have to realize your audience and understand their needs, which they fail to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like 100%. The fashion industry only sees one type of woman and it's now become this curvy, but still slim type of woman. And they call that the real woman. What do you think?
Where's your food?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I agree. What are your thoughts on being called a real woman or what does it mean to be a real woman?
I actually had a really like deep conversation about my sister with this one. Cause like, so my sister's 6 years older than me. And I don't want to say unfortunately, but with like her experience, she was the plus size kid. She was the plus size girl in high school. So she's been going through it a lot longer than I have. And I feel like when people say real woman, I'm putting air quotes here, is for the people who can't see me. I feel like they have this like idealization that it's what they want women's bodies to look like. I don't know. It's a weird phrase to me and I don't like it. A real woman to me is whatever that woman decides that she wants to be. There is no real woman. I hate when people are like, oh, yeah, you're a real woman because you got curves.
Yes.
And like, excuse fucking me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. But the woman who is a size two, who looks that way, she can't gain weight. That's what she looks like. That's who she is. That's who she embraces. She's also a real woman. The person who wears a size 30 dress or a size 40 dress, that's a real woman. And I feel saying real woman is just another way for them to put this image and idea of what people should look like. Yeah. Like we did back in the 2000s. It was, if you didn't look like Jennifer Aniston, if you didn't look like Angelina Jolie, if you didn't look like them, you sucked. Yeah. You were awful.
Yeah.
And now we have these like still straight sized women, quote, plus sized women that are the real woman. And it's kind of like, no, there is no really real woman. Mm-hmm. It's just every woman, every person who identifies as female is woman. So I don't know. This probably sounds so silly, but like that question, like when I was reading it, it frustrated me because I was like, I don't like that there is a real woman.
Exactly. And that
because guess what? I still don't look like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And yet the phrase and the terminology still holds to the fact that a woman has curves, but she's not too thick. And it's just like,
oh, yeah, don't you dare.
You can't, like, they think they found the happy medium when, in fact, women's bodies go through so much more than men will ever go through their entire lives. And they fail to realize that.
Facts.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like it's all men making these phrases of real women. Like, it just does nothing but infuriate
it does.
Me. Because, again, like, I get called grotesque, obese, mm-hmm. like, on the daily. And on the flip side, I will get messages of like, oh my God, you're exactly what I want my wife to look like. And I'm just like, gross. I must warn people, like, don't message me. I'm really mean on the internet. But like, it's just this idea of like, this is exactly what women should be when there is no idea of what women should be. Women should be whatever they want. Yeah.
The whole construct of women is just, it's so arbitrary. And that's what I love about it. Because you can be whatever type, no matter how you identify. It's just, it's amazing. And it's just, it's sad that we're still stuck in these old traditional modern standards of thinking of it. And it's,
and we've had some breakthroughs, but it's not enough.
Yeah. I was going to say the breakthrough.
It's like, no, we accept curvy, but not too curvy.
Exactly.
You can't have a FUPA, still have to have a flat stomach, still have to have curves in all of the right places. Because if you don't, you're not a real woman. You don't meet those standards. You don't meet what society is now being more accepting of.
Right. Yeah.
Society, I don't feel, is still accepting of fat people.
Oh, of course not. No. But they are making waves. It's just small little pool waves, if you would say.
Yeah. I need a whirlpool. I need a tsunami.
I do.
That's what I need.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. What do you, just going into back into the fashion industry, what do you think of the term plus size in general? Do you think it does more harm than good, or do you think it is a good generalized term for us to describe ourselves as women or men and non-binary, of course?
It's a double-edged sword, I think. It's nice to be recognized in certain areas. It's nice to have be seen as a plus size woman. And at the same time, the only thing I struggle with is if I walk into a store, why is there a plus size section? Why can't it be an everybody section? Like, why does it have to be a plus size section? And I know that like some people like Old Navy have now gotten to where they got rid of their plus size and it's literally it's every size. Like I can go to their website and I click on a shirt and I can see all of the sizes. I don't have to specifically go to like a plus size section. So for me, I would prefer to be called a plus size person instead of fat or chubby or anything like that. But at the same time, it's frustrating in the fashion industry because why do we still have a plus size section? Why? Like, I'm glad that some people are making waves to have a plus size section because there are still a lot of stores that I can't shop at because they do not have my size. Mm-hmm. But then my brain's at the same time like, why do we have a plus size section? Not only that, but they're more expensive. Yep. There's the gap in the pricing of clothes. So I don't know. I hate love the phrase. I love it because I would rather be preferred to be called a plus size woman rather than a fat woman. But I also hate fashion wise how everything has to be plus. I will say, like, one of the places I get my clothes at is, do get it from Shein. I know it has like a lot of taboo with it because of fast fashion. And I don't like that either. At the same time, there's not a lot of places for me to shop that are stylish, that are in my repertoire, and that aren't super expensive. Mm-hmm. And I like it that they call it curve. I like that it's seen curve instead of like when I go shopping and I'm like, all right, I gotta go to the plus size section. Like, I like that it has its, I think curve is a better word. Not curvy, but curve. I don't know. I feel like I'm not making sense.
No, you're good. I agree with you too. I do like the new terminology behind curve versus plus size. I think it's the best way to identify us as women because we do. We have more curves than most people. And at the same time, we don't see ourselves as just plus sometimes. Maybe.
And yeah, there are women that wouldn't identify themselves as a plus size woman, but also have a beautiful fat ass. And the and like nice thick legs and a like beautiful like calves, beautiful hips, like stuff like that, but wouldn't necessarily consider themselves plus size. I feel like at the same time, like plus size still has a little bit of a negative connotation to it.
It does. And I'm hoping that there will be some type of reform and some type of revolution where plus size reinvents itself. It starts a whole rebranding moment.
Yeah, that'd I be agree. Great.
Yeah. I feel like on Instagram, since you are heavily used on there, Tess Holliday kind of like is already setting like the waves in motion with the F Your Beauty Standards movement.
So it's funny that you bring that up, Tess Holliday, because I can't tell you. And I take it as a compliment. Some people mean it as a mean way, but some people genuinely like, oh my God, Tess 2.0. You look like Tess Holliday. And I feel like it's one because I have red hair and because I have tattoos. Like, I feel like those are the only two like, she's absolutely like, gorgeous.
Yep.
I just don't look like her personally, but I think she's beautiful. But I like that too. For me, when I think of body positivity, I don't think the body positivity movement, I don't necessarily think about, oh, accept me because I'm plus size. I'm body positive and I support all bodies. I support your body, my body, their body. I don't necessarily connect body positivity to the plus size movement, if that makes sense, because it means something different to me.
Gotcha.
But I really like, I see her hashtag all the time. F your beauty standards, fuck your beauty standards.
No, that does. And I think, I believe her name's Denise Bardot, and she came up with her own hashtag. She's a plus size model as well. And she came up with the hashtag all bodies are good bodies, similar to Tess Holliday's. I don't know if you saw that.
I didn't, but I like that. Like, that's what, because that's how I connect body positivity is everybody is a good body. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't matter what people think. It matters what you think about your body.
Yeah.
And that kind of goes along with the like, fuck your beauty standards. My body is what my body is. I don't give a shit what you think about it. Mm-hmm. And I support you and how you feel about your body.
I completely agree. That's it's I have such a love-hate relationship with the plus size community just because like we are trying to make strides and stuff like that. But at the same time, I feel like every time we do, someone or something or some brand tries to manipulate, take over it and make it of their own. And then we lose our voice again.
A step forward so and two steps cycle. Back. It's really frustrating. Yep. It is. It's frustrating. It's just frustrating being a person in general in life. Yes. But it really is a true difference living as a plus size person in a straight size world. Like it really is a struggle that most people don't understand. And most people just want to say, oh, well, change your body. Like if you don't like it, just change your body. And I'm like, change your fucking face. So like,
or, you know, you could just change your mindset.
Yeah. That's another option too. I don't give people the time of day when people try to be shitty like that. Like I warn people a lot. Like, it's in my bio. Like, don't be fucking creepy. Like, don't, like, I'm,
yeah,
I've had to control myself a lot better because I have gotten banned on Instagram. I have, for defending myself, of course. But I don't know. Like, I have way less patience with people who want to say stuff like that. That's what's something I'm trying to work on. Instead of wanting to tell them, okay, well, how can we work together to change your mindset? My immediate feeling is telling them to fuck off. Because who are you to have that opinion to tell me to change my body to fit into a different society? How about you change your mindset and society changes their mindset so I fit better in society as I am?
Right. Because your fat phobia is not needed at this place. I'm going to need you to walk out. Yeah.
I don't know if you watch Drew. I forget how you say it. It's like Arfilio or something on TikTok. She puts men in their place. And she actually, Tess Holliday commented on one of her videos. Yes.
Oh,
so
really?
Some guy was like trying to say like, oh, you're morbidly obese. And like, make this video about Tess Holliday. I have to send it to you. And she shut that shit down and like put some misogynistic, fat phobic men in their place. And
I think I've seen her.
She has like a really funny cackling evil laugh. I love it.
Yes.
And she like made this video and Tess Holliday commented on it. And then she just had one recently where Lizzo commented on it, which I have my own feelings about.
Well, she's
I have my
waves.
Own feelings about Lizzo. And I listened to your one episode about that. But to have like Tess Holliday like commenting like that and see that, like that was like super, super cool. And it's nice to know that we do have really good out, because she's not, I would not consider her, she's not a plus size person. But she's out there like defending people from fat phobia because it's very much alive.
Yeah.
It is very much here and present and has been. And it's disgusting, honestly. Like it's 2020. Yeah. I made a post recently like posted a picture and I said, it's 2021. Like, why are we still fat phobic?
That's what I'm saying. It's right. I don't understand. It's right up there with like the homophobes. Like, how are you still homophobe? Like, we're in 2021. Like,
I'm living my best life. Why don't you mind yours and live yours too?
Exactly. And I guess they're just bored and don't have anything better else to do.
I think so. My husband say that all the time about like people who are like mean. We're like, how miserable with your life must you be to like try to make others as miserable as you are? It never. Never made sense.
Yeah,
to me.
Absolutely. So just getting into your whole experience in your life and basically your whole journey and stuff like that. What was the moment you redefined what it means to be plus size or fat or curvy?
This is a hard question. This is like one of those questions when I was looking through everything, I was like,
because you said yourself, you've been straight size for most of your life. So, and you going from straight size to plus size, that's a huge change. So I'm sure there was a moment.
It is. And so there's been a few like pivotal moments of like, because I will never forget, I used to work in American Eagle and I could buy all of their clothes in store. And I will never forget, my mother is not one to be shy. If something does not look good on you, she will tell you that don't fit. That doesn't look right. And my jeans were getting a little tight at the time. And I was a size 12 and I was still trying to fit in those jeans. And one day she showed up while I was working and picked out a size 14, 16 and said, go try these on. And I was mad as hell. I was so mad and so embarrassed. And I was like, oh my God, I'm not fat. And my mom's like, I'm not saying that, but baby girl, I'm telling you, your jeans don't fit. They don't look good. I'm trying to help. And that was one moment to where, because I grew up around plus size people. I was like, my whole family is plus size. So I was the oddball out of being super skinny, Carolee, Twig, Ant Hill, boobies, like nothing. And so I was trying to fight because I saw the struggles that they had. I saw the things that they went through and how they were very frankly discriminated against because of like their size and certain aspects of their life. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't want to go through that, but I knew I was fighting genetics. I was fighting things that were going against me. So that was one moment to where I had a heart to heart with myself in the dressing room. And I was like, okay, like if this is the size that I wear, it's just pants. Mm-hmm. It's just, that's okay.
Yeah.
And then that was when I was 18, 19 years old. I met my now husband when I was 20, about to be 21. And he was very into fitness. And I remember thinking, like, I'm starting to get stretch marks on my stomach. I still had a flat stomach, but I was still starting to get stretch marks. And I was like, oh my God, like, he's probably not going to like me because I don't work out all the time. So I started to work out all the time and I ended up losing 70 pounds in like 8 months. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I realized that I was still a size like 12, 14. I was still like, still had women hips and a butt. And it was hard for me to like lose weight, but still have it in the back of my mind. Like I'm still plus size. Cause back then they didn't care anything higher than a 14, 16 in the store, 18, 20, everything was online. And so I was like, oh my God, like I'm still up there. Are they not going to have my sizes in store? Like, and I was battling that so hard. And then I stopped working out cause it didn't bring me joy anymore. And I don't think I was doing it for the right reasons. And realized that my husband loved me no matter what I looked like. So it was around 22, or it was around like 23 to 25 when that's when I started to wear plus size clothing. I started to go to the plus size section in Target. I started not being able to get my stuff in the store anymore. And it broke me. It really did. I was embarrassed. I was wearing, I call them fat sucker uppers. I still call them that. You put them under your clothes, that they're like tights. Thank you,
Lord. Oh, shapewear.
I call them my fat sucker uppers.
You're good.
I was wearing those under everything. Everything that I wore to not show my stomach, to not show leg, to not show my body. And that was another redefining moment for me because on my 25th birthday, I was like, but I kind of look cute. Like I'm all right. It's just clothes. But I still continued to struggle with that. And until 28, when I said, look, at this point, I've had 2 foot surgeries. I'm constantly kind of in pain. It's not really a thing that I talk about with most people. Like I have a handicap placard and people see it and they're like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I had 2 reconstructive surgeries and working out just wasn't for me anymore. And it hurt more than it helped. And I love food. And I just realized I'm not going to be that. I don't have to be skinny, number one, to be healthy. I was really associating being skinny with being healthy. There's a lot of skinny motherfuckers out there that I know that are not healthy. And I learned that in the last year. So I told myself, I'm not going to be skinny. And that doesn't mean that I'm unhealthy. But I just need to rewire my brain and what this means to be a plus size person. Because I've always thought that I was attractive and I thought that I was like a pretty girl, but I was always self-doubting based off what everybody told me I should be. Always.
Yeah.
And so last year, I remember I made a post about it and said that I promise to start being kinder to myself. And I feel like in the last year, specifically this year, because that's when I did my first boudoir shoot. It was at my first boudoir shoot that I really think I redefined what it meant to be a plus size person. I went in there. It was like a boudoir day. So with the boudoir days, it's girls are there all day. Snacks, cheese, wine, food. It's an all day like event. And I remember being the only plus size person, nervous, but it wasn't until someone like the photographer, her name's Lauren, she's done all of my boudoir photos, was so excited to shoot me and was hyping me up and was just like, you do what you feel like, I want you to do what you think is comfortable for you and your body. And I was really reserved at the beginning, but by the end, I was completely topless, taking photos. And I thought to myself, like, I'm beautiful as a plus size person. And I want other people to be able to feel this way about themselves. And I don't want them to take as long as it took me to get to this point. And that's what I feel like me redefining being curvy meant, was not just to be like, oh, I'm plus size and everything's great, but to be really harsh and really like passionate. I'm a very passionate person in all aspects of my life. And I wanted to be that passionate force that really drove home to other women or people who, however they identify, that you can be fucking amazing and be a plus size person. 100%. And fuck everybody that tells you otherwise.
That is, that's a journey.
And it's funny because saying it out loud, I don't really think about it. Because to me, again, like I didn't grow up plus size, but I feel like for the latter of my life, I've been plus size. And these are the moments I feel in your 20s that you're really figuring out who you are, what you want to be, what you like, what you don't like. And so it didn't really hit me until I was a plus size person of figuring out who I was. Mm-hmm. So now that I say that out loud, I'm like, there really was a journey going from like being someone who was a double zero, who was called anorexic, who was made fun of like in different ways than what plus size people are made fun of. Cause it's different. It is 100% different.
Yeah.
And it's kind of opened my eyes just sitting here right now thinking I really have been discriminated against in every facet of in like stage of my body. So it just makes you realize why the fuck do I care what all of these people think? Because at the end of the day, someone is always going to have something to say. No matter what, even the people who we think are amazingly beautiful people and idolized to this day, there's still people out there that hate them. Do you think that it stops them from living their life? No. So just because I'm not rich and famous or have $1 million, why does that mean that it should stop me? I'm not any less worthy. And I know that to some people it can sound like I'm being really cocky, but at this point I deserve to be. I deserve to be confident and love myself and like stand up for myself, because for so long, people who are plus size or curvy are told not to. So you're damn straight that I'm going to sound really harsh and like I'm really cocky, because I am and I should be.
Yeah. Yeah. You've really nailed how I feel, honestly. It's truly like I feel like I'm talking to myself, like the best version of me. And I just want to know, like, you said like it wasn't easy to get to that journey, but like I'm sure there were probably some influential people and maybe some role models or inspirational quotes that got you to that moment.
Yeah.
Could you describe any people and the type of that?
So I know it sounds so cliche, it really does, but my husband Tyler is one of the most inspiring people I have met in my life, and one of the most supportive people I've ever surrounded myself by. He has loved me in every stage, and he has always been the voice in the back of my head saying, like, you are beautiful, you are worthy, who cares what anybody says? And he's the one that's seen me at my lowest. He is the one that has seen me on my best days where you can't tell me shit. Like the other day I was rocking this beautiful outfit and I swore I was ruling the entire world. And he let me think I was too. He was. He's the
best. That's your hype man ever.
He went to the photo shoot with me this past weekend, was holding my clothes, was like telling me what outfits I should wear, was helping. He's really into fashion himself and was like helping me put stuff together, like hyping me up while I was taking pictures. Like he is the best hype man, and he's influential because he is also someone who has always been authentically himself. He's always been authentically himself, and he's always been a genuine, nice person. And he's really, really influential to me because he is the one person that he will put me in check. And you need that person. You need someone that's going to put you in your place and put you in check when you're wrong. And I don't like being wrong. And I don't like it when he tells me he's wrong. But at the end of the day, he is the most like Switzerland of people. Like, he will not take my side just because I'm his wife. Which I know growing up, that's what we're all told. Like, oh my God, that's your spouse. You support them no matter what. You side with them no matter what. That's your family. No, if you're wrong, you're wrong. And he will be that person for me. And it's really, really humbled me in my journey of being in self-love. Another person that has been really influential to watch, as I will say, is Ashley Graham. I love Ashley Graham. I love that she has, like, wanted to be a model, but was always told no, and was always told that she couldn't be, and was always just like, she'll sit there on like camera and rub her stomach, like jello her stomach at you. And like, what the fuck are you going to do about it? And I've loved that about her. And it's been really inspirational to see her on, I mean, just like on the same wavelength of Tess Holliday. Of she is literally one of the most sought out models in the world. The world.
I know.
And she is plus size. And to me, like, that's just so incredible that she's literally like, ha ha ha, guys. I'm still going to get my bag. I'm still going to get mine. You guys can hate me all you want. And like,
if anything, you're just giving me more money.
You're giving me more money. And I could not say anything about my mother and my sister. I really can't like say that they're not super influential, because again, growing up, it was just me, my mom and my sister. She's 6 years older than me. My mom was a nurse aide for 30 years who, unfortunately, she was never at my sporting events and stuff like that, because mom was working an extra 12-hour shift to make sure I could do that sporting event. She was making sure that I could have. And my mom has specifically always told me, I make sure my girls have because I want them to know that they can have the world. They deserve that.
Aww.
And my sister is just such a boss ass bitch. She really is. And she's still like, I don't think she's at that point where I'm at seeing that. And so
just shout out to Christy.
Like, I want you to know that you are a badass, beautiful bitch. And you own your shit. She's the most intelligent person I've ever met. She's been a nurse for 15 years at Children's Hospital. Like, she's a clinical lead. Like, she's top of her game. And she has opened up to me and said that, like, sometimes she wonders if doctors and stuff look at her and don't think that she's as educated because she's plus size. And I'm constantly like, bro, fuck that. You are the smartest person in that room, and you know it. So just like a quick shout outs to her, because she really is such a phenomenal person. And we hated each other growing up, because I was the annoying little sister that wanted to do everything that she wanted to do. Like, she used to listen to The Roots, and I would tell people like, oh, I listen to The Roots. No, you don't. I listened to them in the car when she took me to school. That's what I did. But she would always be so cool, and I would always wanted to, like, I always aspired to be like her. And I just want...
Were you her copycat?
Yeah. I was. Her and her friend growing up used to speak in pig Latin around me, because... So I wouldn't understand what they were saying, because I would always just want to, like, hang out with her. And I know that at the time, it was just because, to her, it was, oh my God, my annoying little sister. You know, I'm 12 years old, she's 18. That's such a big gap in development and interest and whatnot. And I hope she knows it's because I've always thought that she is cool, and I've always respected her, and I've always, like, admired her and will brag on her. And I just want her to brag on herself, because she's amazing, and she has influenced me to be my authentic self, to love me. And I just want her to do that for her. And I don't think she realizes how much that's impacted me.
Yeah, of course. Speaking of your childhood and everything, I know you said for the most part you were basically straight size, but you were still growing up. You were still going through puberty and stuff like that. What would you tell your 18-year-old self if you can give them one piece of advice?
If I could give myself one piece of advice when I was 18, it would be to... One, invest in Bitcoin.
That is the first. No one has ever said that on this podcast.
I'm not going to lie. That I got that from my husband because we were talking. We were like, we have these conversations all the time. And he was like, no, I did invest in Bitcoin. Easy. And I'm like, no, like.
That in Zoom. Yes. I would invest in Zoom. But like, yeah, invest 100%. In
Bitcoin, number one. Two, I would tell myself to not wait so long to be authentic. Like, don't. I cared so much about what people thought for so long. And I tried to be so many different versions of myself to other people. And it never worked out. And I was never happy. And I would just tell myself to, you know, deep down, because who I am now is who my heart was at 18. 18-year-old Carolee would be so proud of myself right now. And I would just tell her, don't wait this long to get there. Because there are opportunities that I've missed out on because I've held myself back. So I would just tell myself to just say yes more often, invest in that Bitcoin, and be authentically yourself now, because the right, like my mom always said, the right people are going to love you.
Oh, for sure.
They will.
They'll stick around through thick and thin. Through thick
with three C's and thin.
Absolutely.
And those same people that have been there when I was 18 are still in my life now and have still always supported me.
Oh,
so it's like, I wish I would have gotten that sooner, that they would have loved me no matter what.
Yeah. It's so heartbreaking to look back at your life and be like, I missed out on so many opportunities when I should have just been living in the moment. And I think being on social media and your presence, you start to realize how much you need to live in the moment, because you will forget those little things. And like, your friends might have those memories, but you don't, because you were too busy caught up in all these.
Yeah. Like, mindset. Let me not go like on the boat with my friends, cause I don't want to be in a bathing suit. But they have so many fun memories. Do you remember that one time you fell off the tube? No, because I was back. I didn't go. Like, I know that seems trivial, but it's like stuff like that, that like, for me, my favorite memories in my entire life are moments where I'm laughing with people I love. I love to laugh, and I'm really fucking funny. I will say that 100%. And I've held back on like speaking up in conversations around people or not participating in something because of my size and what I looked like. And it seems so trivial, but it's like, I really missed out on what could have been some of my happiest memories and laughing memories with my friends because I didn't think that was worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so heartbreaking. It really is. It's such a shame, because it's like, I see all of, and I'm so grateful for Gen Z, because they really, not only do they tell it how it is, they live their best life.
They get so much hate, and I don't get it.
I wish I had that.
I really don't.
I don't either. I mean, they've had their dumb moments here and there, but like for the most part, they've actually been. Yeah. That's one of those moments for sure. Oh, God, I forgot about that. Thank you.
But other than that, like, they're intelligent. They are a force to be reckoned with. They give no fucks. Mm-hmm. A lot of people I work with are young, and a lot of them I still relate to. And I'm like a lot of them, like, this girl this weekend thought I was 22. Bless her heart. I know, she was 19, but like, she thought I was 22, and I'm like, stop. But she was like, no, she's like, one, you don't look that way. But two, she's like, you just don't act like some of the 29-year-olds I know. Cause some of the 29-year-olds I know, and people my age, are acting like boomers.
Yeah, they really are. They really are. Oof. Or Karens, like some early start Karens. I was just like, early onset
girl,
Karens.
Get that haircut, girl. Well. Just make it, just commit.
You're already there. Oh, God. It's so bad.
It is.
It's so bad. If you could be remembered for one thing in your entire life,
my passion,
what would it be?
I'm passionate. And I know that seems like a simple answer, but for those that know me, know I am passionate in every aspect of my life. Like, I have just a little, like, a bit about me is I have 4 wiener dogs. Everybody knows that I love dogs. I was at a Halloween party this weekend. Yes, I was drunk. And this guy, the place I was at, neighbor came over and was talking to me. And someone asked how his dogs were. I was like, oh, how many do you have? And he's like, 10. I was like, excuse me? And he was like, oh, I'm a breeder. And my drunk ass put him on blast and was questioning him and how he does it. How much do you charge? What's your setup? It don't matter. Like, I will go after you. I am that way in everything that I put my energy into. I'm that way with my marriage, my friends, myself, the things that I believe in. Like, I would want to be remembered for the person who just was so passionate and gave everything that they had to the things that they truly loved and believed in.
I love that. I mean, at the end of the day, passion is what makes a person. And if you don't have passion, you might as well just not participate at all. Yeah.
Don't come at me about dogs. Don't come at me about my mom. Don't come at me about my friends. Like, don't come at me about bodies. Don't do it, because I will shut you down every single time. Because it's funny. I got the comment at work that sometimes my passion can be misconstrued as anger. And sometimes it is anger, especially like when it comes to like plus size women and bodies and stuff like that. But I promise I'm not always mean. just when I need to be.
But you need that fire to start the passion.
I have the fire. And when I will tell people all the time, like, I know that like people won't get to see me unless they go to my Instagram, but I joke people all the time. Like, I was born on the 4th of July and I'm a redhead for a reason. I'm a firecracker baby and it shows.
Yeah, I love it. I appreciate that. Thank you so much for sharing your story. I truly appreciate hearing from you. Is there anything you'd like to plug, promote, or share any new projects or anything that you'd like to offer to my
So audience? Check me out on Instagram. It is at Karahleee, KARAHHLEEE. I have it like that because people mispronounce my name a lot. I think it's Karahleee. So I thought if I put it more phonetically, like in my thing, that people would understand my name. I just shot a shoot this weekend. The teaser photos that I did are up. I'm still waiting for like other photographers to get back. I also shot another boudoir session this last Friday. So excited for that. I'm working with my friend Kaylin this month she's a photographer. She actually shot my announcement photos for my husband and I, because we didn't have a traditional wedding. Like, we just eloped and then got really cool photos afterwards. And she's never done boudoir, and she reached out to me and was like, hey, like, I would love to shoot you doing boudoir. So I have that coming up this month. I have to give shout outs to my tattoo artists, as you guys will see on there. I'm heavily tattooed. So Mike and Brooke at Empire, they do all my work. As you'll see, it's phenomenal work. It's
super good.
If you want traditional tattoos, they are the people to go to. And there's just shout out to my friends that I hope will listen to this, and my family. Just know that I love you guys with every fiber of my being, and I wouldn't be where I'm at without you. And Olive, thank you so much for having me. And I'm sorry, I'm a rambler. So sorry if you guys listen to this and you're like, hi, she can't put together a thought. I have ADHD, y'all. So my thoughts just go everywhere. But I promise I'm a very like coherent person. I swear.
No, you are perfect. You add to the episode. You make it full and vibrant. And just like your Instagram feed, you are just full of life. And it's amazing to see someone who looks similar to me, who acts similar to me, and is able to be able to show that type of self-love, appreciation, and respect. And most importantly, that confidence, because I need some of that. Like, you can hand some of that over.
And you can do it. You can do it. One last thing is that, like, if anything, you can do it. I get all the time, oh my God, I wish I could do a boudoir. So fucking do it. Do it. Do it.
Yeah. I need
one.
To.
That's
need
what
to.
Skyrocketed my confidence. That's what really helped. And two, you are worthy. Don't wait until you lose a few pounds. Don't wait until you look a certain way. Just do it, because life is so precious. And you will look back on these photos in a few years and you'll be like, oh my God, that's me. Look at me. Because unfortunately, we age. We're not going to look like this forever. But how beautiful to have those photos for you. Do it for you. You don't have to do it for your husband, your wife, your significant other, your partner. You don't have to do it for you, and love yourself more because of it.
Yeah. I need
you
to.
Should. You should. You absolutely should. Message me that day you do it. I will be your hype woman. Oh my God.
Okay, perfect. I'm gonna need someone to
I'll
back
send you
me
links
up
to
real
way
quick.
To get your lingerie. I've got you.
Yeah. Oh my God. Thank you so much for being on here. I'm amazed by her. Guys, go check out her Instagram profile. Check out all the people she shouted out. I really do need people like her in this world, because she's what gives us that hope, that confidence, and that inspiration to carry on. And I couldn't do this without people like her, honestly. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You are incredible. Thank you for the opportunity to allow people to learn a little tidbit about me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Expand the Curve. Leave us a review and tell us what you think. You can keep up with the podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Expand the Curve. If you want to support the podcast with a monthly donation, visit our